because I want you to know that you're standing because of the grace of God. If God didn't wake you up this morning with breath in your lungs, you wouldn't be standing, but He gave you breath. And so I want you to make that mental note. You know, as I was sitting here through the service, so far we've had technical difficulties, we've had sound booth difficulties, and I want to tell you something. You're going to have difficulty in your life. You're going to have things happen that you did not expect. You're going to have things go wrong on one end, and God's going to make it up on the other end. So what I want you to know is that God is everything that you need, and God has made you able to stand this morning. And so there are people, I guarantee you, under the sound of my voice, they're at their couch right now, and what kept them from coming here to God's house is depression, fear, worry, anxiety, stress. Every week people say, Pastor Kelly, I was just almost out the door, but that depression came upon me so strong. And I want to tell you right now that the Word of God says that He needs a binder, and He says that He needs a looser. And so whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So God, right now, in Jesus' name, I bind up depression in this place right now. I bind up depression for that person, God, that they're sitting at their couch right now. I bind it up, God, in Jesus' name. I bind up anxiety and fear and worry and stress. I bind up pornography addiction right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over Logan County. God, for every person that's drug dealing, God, in this county, God, I ask that You would expose them. God, I ask that You would save them. And Lord, I ask that You would cause them to be a blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. For every person, God, that's in here or on Facebook, God, I ask that if they're bound by drugs, Lord, and they want to be free, God, I ask that You would break those chains right now, God, in Jesus' name. And God, I just give You this service right now, Lord, to have Your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I am excited to be here this morning. God is good and God is faithful. And God is perfecting the thing that concerns you. You know, the other day, I was, first of all, I minister out of the overflow of my life, and I do that because that's what I know. You can't preach what you don't know. You can try, and then you'll sound kind of silly because everybody will be able to tell that you don't know what you're talking about. But I preach out of the overflow. And this week, I was in my home, and how many of y'all like to just have a moment where you get to be in your home alone, and you just have a moment of quiet? Amen. I like that because I very seldom get that. So I don't even know how it happened. But I'm praying it happened again sometime soon. Now, before I get really, really involved in this message, I'm going to ask if you have a cell phone, if you'll put it on vibrate or turn it off or whatever you've got to do to it. So anyways, I was in my home this week. And I was watching Joyce Meyer. She had a birthday. Joyce is 79 years old. Joyce is a woman that I have tried to fashion my life after. I look up to her. She is a woman of God, and I love her dearly. And so I prayed a blessing over her. And I was listening to what she was saying. And then I got up, and I was doing some dishes. And then I really had some ambition, and I started steaming the floors. And that is something I don't normally do because I'm not that energetic as far as, you know, if I'm going to have energy, it's going to be towards something with people. It's not going to be doing the floors. But for whatever reason, I started working on them floors. And I began to feel something in my heart and in my emotions. And I thought, and it was pleasant. And I said, well, God, what is this? And He said, Kelly, this is happiness. And right the moment that I realized that was happiness and joy that I was feeling, I'm telling you, when God gives you something, the moment that He gives it to you, the devil will be right there to take it from you. And so I have that moment of joy. I have that moment of happiness. And then I realize, Mara, that it's happiness that I'm feeling. And instantly I have that first worry thought. And I said, oh, God, I'm afraid to be happy. Because every time I get happy, it seems like the bottom of it just comes right out. And Lord, I'm afraid and I'm anxious to be happy. And so God began to deal with me that day. And what He said to me was very simple, but I want to plant it into your life. It's okay to be happy. It's okay. I want you this morning to give yourself permission to be happy and to be joyful. There are people that you're always anxious and you're always nervous because every time you get your hopes up, you're let down. Every time you get to where you feel like you know something about something, you're disappointed. And I want to tell you something. In this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. That does not mean that you can't have joy all the while. So I want to tell you this morning that it's okay to be happy. It's okay. And not only is it okay, you should. You should. One dad raised four girls, and bless his heart, I'm convinced that's why he has gray hair. He started the ministry, and he had solid black hair. His hair looked just like Jennifer's, but by the time he got done with raising us, he was white-headed. And so one of the things about girls, if you're raising one, you'll know, they're very emotional, hormonal creatures. Okay? And so I remember one day when I was about 15 years old, I was sitting at the table and I was just crying. And Dad sits by me and he goes, "Why are we crying?" And I said, "I have no idea. Absolutely no clue. It's just coming out of my face. I don't know." And so he sat by me and he just cried with me and he just held my hand. And that was one of the moments that I will always remember about Dad. But it's okay to be happy. It's okay to have joy, and it's okay to look forward to something. It's okay to let yourself have joy. Amen. Let's go to Psalms chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 8. I'm going to give you some keys this morning for lasting happiness, lasting joy. So we're looking at Psalms chapter 16. We're going to begin at verse 8. And it says, "I have set the Lord always before me." And you know, it's so easy to put everything ahead of God. It's easy. Because there are things that we feel like we have to do. There are things that have to be done. And if we are not careful, what we'll do is we'll put all those things above God. And so we see here in Scripture, it says, here's David, and he says, "I have set the Lord always before me." Now, I'm going to tell you the point that I want to make here with this verse. You know, if a pastor cannot give you chapter and verse, first of all, they shouldn't be pastoring. They shouldn't be ministering. But second of all, they're probably in error. And so when I teach you something, when I minister to you, I'm going to give you chapter and verse. And the word says here, "I have set before me always." God, I put you before me always. I have set the Lord always before me. You want joy. You want happiness. You want to keep joy. You want to keep happiness. You better put God first. That's why the Word of God says, "Now seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added." And most people want all the stuff added, want all the breakthroughs added, want all the miracles added. But see, they have not put God first. Now, God is a God of order and not of disorder. Now, if you're anything like me, you have a squirrel brain. Yes. As I was saying, you have a squirrel brain. This is not a scripted service, but that just makes my point. I have a squirrel brain. I'm going to try to get that thought back. Lord, help me. You got to put God first. You got to put him first. Look here, Mikey, I'm so happy that that little critter came running out. You know why? Because that means that the Pattersons are back. And there has not been a Sunday that I have not just missed you guys so deeply. And you are such a blessing, and I'm so thankful that you're back. But, you know, there are times where I get things out of order. If you get things out of order when you're putting stuff together, when you're doing all of that, you're going to have a mess, an absolute mess. So God's not a God of disorder. He's the God of order, and that's why he tells us, put me first. Amen. The word also says, I'm a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. A lot of people say, "Pastor Kelly, my life's in shambles, and I don't know why." And I'll say, have you put God first? How far down the totem pole have you put God? Because whatever you put above him, that's the first thing going. Whatever you put above him, that's the first thing. See, God doesn't have to kill you. Here's what I've learned. That would be too easy. All God really has to do is just take his hand of favor off of your life. Right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added. There are trials that people go through, and it's because of their choices. There are trials that people go through, and it's because of somebody else's choices. But I want to tell you, either way, you can have joy and you can have happiness. You know, the Word of God says, if you're struggling in here today and it's because of some of your choices, I want to encourage you. This is not a message to beat you up over the head. I want to encourage you that, you know what, wherever you were right the last time, go back. Go back. There is never a better time to get it right than today. There is never a better time to give your life back to the living God than today. Today is the day of salvation. And so the Word says here, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. You know, there's been many times over the past few months where I've had to tell God, God, I'm not going to be shaken up by this. God, I refuse to be shaken up by this trial. God, in Jesus' name, I give it over to you right now. God, when I feel like I'm broken and I'll never be the same, God, in this moment, I'm giving it back to you. God, I give it back to you again. God, it's me again, and I give it right back to you again. It's okay to have joy. And you can't have joy when you're constantly looking over your shoulder and you're saying, what's going to go wrong now? But that's what a lot of people do because they're afraid. You can't live your life in fear. What you have to do is live your life in faith and say, God, it don't matter what happens to me next because you said, God, I didn't say it, but you said that you would never leave me and that you would never forsake me. So God, right now, I'm going to choose happiness. God, it doesn't look good. God, I still choose happiness. God, it looks awful. I still choose happiness. It's okay to be up in your house and be happy. It's okay to live again and be happy. It's okay. That stuff is okay. And you should. You should be happy. And so it says here, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. You know, I've had moments here where I've had to say, now, heart, you're going to be glad. Heart, you are going to be okay. And heart, you're going to be glad. You're going to be glad. A lot of people say, why do you keep yourself so busy? Well, that's called a survival method for myself. And here's what I've determined. You can be too busy, and I believe that there have been times in my life where I've been too busy, and that's not helped. But you know, one of the things that I do when I'm really feeling down is I'll get out and I'll do something for somebody else that can never pay me back. And I do that because you know what? It doesn't matter what I'm feeling. Feelings aren't facts. See, what are you feeling today? Why aren't you letting yourself be happy? Is there something that's stolen your joy? Is there something in your life where you feel like you're always going to have it? It's just a permanent thing. I want to tell you, no trial lasts forever. No trial lasts forever. Amen. See, I don't know what's going on in your life or what's going on right now, but God does. God does. People try to tell me all their stuff all the time. I used to watch the Maury show. How many of y'all like Maury? Thank God for all the honest people. I still love Maury. I just don't watch it very much. You know why? Because I got that stuff in real life. I mean, I'm like, people will try to tell me stuff, and I'm like, now hold on. Do I really need to hear this? Because if I don't, my self will do better if I don't hear all this Jerry Springer stuff. Do we need to go there? And most of the time, we don't go there because you know what? The truth of the matter is God doesn't care what you've done, where you've been, What he cares about most is where you're going and where you're at right now. He cares about where you're at right now. And if you're sad in here today, if you're grieved, you know, there are people, they're grieved. There are people, they're disappointed. There are people, and they're hurting. And you know what? God says it's okay for you to get your joy back. Right, amen. And so it says here, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices and my body also will rest secure. You know, most of your bad decisions are because you're tired. Most of the dumb things that pop out of your mouth just at somebody and you were mean, probably because you're tired. Amen. A lot of dumb choices are made just out of pure exhaustion. You got yourself overtired and you didn't rest. A lot of the silly stuff I've done and said were just out of fatigue. Your body will also rest secure. In verse 10 it says, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. You want to keep your joy? You want to have joy? Here's a key. This is the second key. The first key was put God first. The second key is this right here. Practice the presence of God. Practice being in God's presence. Practice being in the presence of the Holy Ghost. People like, ooh, don't say ghost in church. Well, I said it. If you call them the Holy Ghost or you call them the Holy Spirit, it's whatever you call them. But you know what? You need to get a good system going where you have the Holy Spirit coming up inside of you every single day, where you pray and you have that moment with God every single day, where you're praying and you're praying and you're praying and you're giving it over to Him and you're giving it over to Him. You know, He will fill me with joy in His presence. If you've lost your joy, have you stopped being in the presence of God? How do I practice being in the presence of God, Pastor? Well, here's what I do. I'm patient about it. A lot of people want God's presence just as quick as they want their burger from McDonald's, right? And I don't like to wait anywhere. If I think I'm going to have to wait for my fast food, I start having stress over waiting before I even am at the place. I'm like, oh my gosh, what if they're slow today? I'm not in the mood to wait. Ugh. And I start getting worked up before I even get there. God is not on your time frame. So what we got to do is we got to carve that time out. We carve it out. We carve it out and we say, God, I'm not leaving this place. I'm not leaving this room until I feel who you are. God, until I hear your voice. Lord, until I feel your presence. Have you felt his presence? You got to practice being in his presence. Practice being in his presence. You know, I've been around people and I thought, ooh, I don't know how to act around these people. They're this or they're that. And we get all stressed out about how do we act around folks or how do we this or how do we that. You know what? We should think that about God. Lord, I want to be in your presence. I want to be in your presence. And God, not just for a moment, but all the time. So the second key here is practice his presence. Practice his presence. And you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, I want to go back there because it says God fills us with joy in his presence. So nobody else can fill us. Now, what I've noticed is a lot of people are going after pleasures that are not eternal. See, God is filling you with his presence. He's filling you with joy, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. See, whatever's causing you to have pleasure, see, sin is pleasurable and fun for a season until it bites you right in the rear end. Yep. till you wake up and 5 years has gone by and you didn't realize that addiction was going to cost you that. Till you wake up 10 years and you missed out your kid's childhood. Till you wake up 15 years later and you don't know who you are anymore because you've been in it that long. See, a lot of these pleasures, they're momentary and they're not eternal. But see, the thing about God is God's given you something eternal. He's given you something in this life and in the one to come. You're not coming back as a butterfly or a squirrel or anything else. When you go, you're going right back to the one who made you for judgment, good or bad. And so with eternal pleasures at your right hand, if whatever's bringing you joy, and maybe you've lost it, a lot of people do this in relationships, so I'm going to get on that soapbox for just a minute, okay? If you're single in here, let's get this figured out. Here's the figuring out part. It don't matter how that person's rear looks. Okay, now I know this is getting off on somewhere, but if churches would talk about this a little more, we might not have some of the issues that we're having. So I will preach it. Eternal pleasures. No person, no human being is going to complete you. So all that stuff that we learned off of Jerry Maguire, that is all garbage. Okay? And if you don't get that joke, that makes me feel old. You kids, you need to watch Jerry Maguire and you'll know what I'm talking about. Amen? Another person doesn't complete you. And another person is not responsible for your happiness. You and God are responsible for your happiness. And that's just the deal. There's too much pressure in relationships. People are saying, well, I get this all the time. And it's so crazy. Sometimes I think, God, I feel like my life is a soap opera. And I don't even watch soaps. I'm not saying anything bad about them. Watch Days of Your Life all you want to. But there's a couple I know, and every other week, they're together, they're not together. Yeah. And I'm like, it makes me uncomfortable because, Mara, I don't know whether to have conversations regarding them being together or them not being together, so it puts me in a weird situation. So every Wednesday, I'm going, and I'm a nervous type of person, I'm going, I don't know what to say. You feel me? Your happiness isn't based off of another person. Your happiness is based off of your relationship with God. And if you're not practicing His presence, you're not going to have joy. Because in His presence is the only place you're going to get joy. Next place for me, Psalms chapter 126. We're going to look at verse 5. So what we're talking about this morning is it's okay to be happy. And I've told you, you need to put God first, number one. Number two, practice God's presence. Now we are in Psalms chapter 126 and we're going to look at verse 5. And it says here, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. And I want to minister to that person today. Maybe you've had a season of your life where you've cried a lot of tears. I've cried a lot of tears here lately. There are so many things in life that are going to be disappointing, that are going to hurt, that are going to make you feel like you're just being torn in two or maybe broken into a million pieces. And one of the things that I have had to learn, and I've had to learn it real well, you want to have joy? You want to have peace? Allow yourself to grieve. Allow yourself to have that cry. Amen? When you cry, see what the Word says is the Word says, I collect those tears. Now, I don't read very often. The only thing I really read is the Bible and my devotional that my mother got, Jesus Listens. I read those two things every day, and that's all I read because I'm not interested in reading a bunch of stuff. And I read recipes for Monday night, but they do not help because I'm still awful at that cooking. But God is working on me with that. But I wanted to read the book, The Shack, and that would have just taken me forever. It's a big book. So I got it on audio, and I cried throughout that whole thing. Well, then I watched the movie, and I cried throughout that whole thing. Now, The Shack is very controversial because people have their visions of what God looks like and all this stuff. And you know what? I'm not a real religious person because I've been in ministry my whole life, and I realize that religion just absolutely kills people, and it sends people to hell, and it makes people feel like they can't go to church because they can never be that good. So I don't really go along with that. But I don't get into the particulars about what I think God looks like or whatever. Yeah. So in this particular show, they had an Asian chick as the character, the Holy Spirit. I'm like, okay. In this show, they've got the Holy Spirit being Asian. I don't care. They could have had them looking. I love Asian folks. But one of the most powerful things in this whole movie that stuck out to me was this man who had lost his daughter. He began to just weep, and he was mad at God, and he said, God, why did you let this happen? What did I ever do for my child to be abducted? And the Holy Spirit walked right up to this man with a little vessel, and he put it up to his face, and he said, I collect tears. And I'm telling you this morning, you want joy, you want happiness, and you want those things to last, allow yourself to cry. Allow yourself, because you know what tears are? They're healing you up. If you keep that inside of you, you're going to have it inside of you till the day you die or till the day you let it out. There are people, and they've had awful things done to them. And they may happen 5, 10, 15 years ago. And when they talk about it, it's like it happened to them yesterday. And why is that? Because they never gave themselves the privilege and the luxury of being a human being and just having that moment where they said, God, this really hurts. And they just allowed themselves to cry. Crying is not a sign of weakness. Crying is a sign of I'm getting this out of me, and I'm going to be healed up from this. And so that's a part of my thing that I have in here is, you know what? Allow yourself to cry. If it's hurting you, allow yourself to cry about it. Because what we know is joy comes in the morning. Joy is coming. You're not going to always feel like that. Your situation isn't permanent. It's going. And so, next place for me is Psalms chapter 144. We're going to look at verse 15. You know, every time that I preach, I reach that point in my message where it's like I'm preaching, but I'm having a conversation with God at the same time. And that's an amazing experience when you pastor. But, you know, just the sound, I think that there will be just sounds in heaven and just the sound of the Word of God being those pages turning. You know, when your pastor says practice the presence of the Holy Spirit, you need to practice that. Because if you can get in His presence, everything that looks so big, that's getting less and less and less. People go through some awful things. That's what I've learned is people go through awful, awful things. I've had my dad be the person that I probably look up to the most in my entire life. And, you know, he's had to go and pick body parts up off the side of the road. He's had to tell little kids that both of their parents were killed tragically. There's just awful things that happen. And I always think, God, you know, how is this person going to ever be okay after this stuff? But God's the only one that can make anything okay after trauma.
Yeah.
That's it. And so whatever's gone on in your life that's hurt you, that's stunted you, I'm trying my very best message up here, and I'm saying, do these things. Put God first. Practice His presence. Allow yourself to cry for a moment. You know, I've had days here lately where people have said, multiple people have said, well, you're just not the same. Well, no, I'm not the same. But I'm on my way to being better. Amen. And there are things that you'll go through, and they will forever change you. And that's not a bad thing. If you will let God do it, He will take that tragedy, He will take that trauma, He will take that disappointment, and He will turn it around, and He will make something that you never thought could even happen in your life. But what we got to do is we got to do things. We got to be active. See, here's the deal. I do my part in the church. Poor Brother Mike. He was doing the sound this morning. He came down from the sound booth and he was telling me the technological problem he was having. And I thought, here's what I thought, Mikey. That's not my problem. Look here. My deal is the preaching and loving people and praying for them. I was thinking, that sounds like a you problem. And I'm going to help him, but I'm not real great at that stuff either. But you know what? I mean, don't let something steal your joy.
Amen.
That stuff that's gone on so many times, I'm preaching in the jail and people are saying, I've done a lot of stuff that I'm unproud of. I've done this and I've done that. And you know what? God is not worried about that stuff.
Amen.
Now, if you haven't gotten that under the blood, get it under the blood and then walk away from it.
Yes.
Walk away from the disappointments. Walk away from the hurt that you've had. You know, the other day I just had to tell God, I just said, God, I'm just having a moment. I have my days where I just can't even be around people because I know I'm just probably going to cry all day. And I said, God, right now, I give you every single disappointment. God, I give you every part of this thing that's stressing me. I give you every part that's irritating. God, I give you the anger that I have about it. See, when was the last time you just called things out by name? You know, every problem that you have has a name. Every problem that you face, every battle that you face, it has a name. It could be a health problem. It could be a marital problem. It could be a child, you're having a problem with your kid. It could be a financial trouble. It could be all of these things. But they all have a name. And that's why the Word of God says there's a name above every single name. So when you're calling on God and you're practicing His presence, you need to name out those battles. You need to name out those problems. Name them one by one because you know what? God is inhabiting every part of what you're telling Him. See, when I'm telling God, God, I'm disappointed. God, I'm broken. God, I don't feel like I can go on. God, I'm aggravated. Lord, I'm mad because I don't know how this happened. See, if you can keep it real with God and yourself, you're going to be on your way. You don't have to have some fancy conversation with God. That's why God says, now when you pray, go up into your room and shut the door and just pray. Don't do it for show. Don't do it. I tell you what. How many of you know what the laughing demon is? Well, I'm a preacher's kid, and I know what that is because I have it come over me all the time. And for sure, when my dad used to preach for years, that laughing devil would get off on me, and I would just laugh at the worst times. I'd be sitting in church just cutting up, and he'd be like, Kelly, you got three licks coming when you get home. And he never got amnesia about those either. I got them all. Got most of my sister's whippings too. So I was at this praying thing. We had a national day of prayer. And we did it in the town, which I think is amazing. I think it's great. But this one guy gets up there to pray. And I have a very short attention span. And he started praying. My head is bowed. And I thought he was done. And I opened my eyes. He was still going. He prayed for probably, no kidding, 15 minutes. And I was like, well, at minute about 7 and a half, that laughing devil just got all over me. And here I am with all the people in the town, and I was privileged enough to pray. Mine was about 30 seconds. But I start laughing because I'm like, Lord, if I ever go to talking to you like this, I want you to get me because I don't even understand what this guy's saying. But you know what? Here's the deal. Talk to God how you talk to God. Sometimes I just tell God, I'm like, God, this is just messed up. And I don't even know where to start to telling you how it got messed up. This is all messed up. Lord, I'm getting on my nerves. People are getting on my nerves. I probably don't need to be in public today. Lord, I've got a bad attitude. Lord, and I'm keeping that bad attitude today. Lord, I this and I that. But you know what? One of the things about God is this right here. He'll take whatever you've got and he'll make it better. And one of the ways God does that with me is I'll try to have a bad attitude on Monday. And I'll get around one of them sweet senior citizens that we give those meals to. And they'll just set me straight. They'll really just tell it like it is. I've got one, and he's blind, and he's the sweetest thing. And he always tells me, I can't wait to see my wife again. I love her so much. Well, that'll make you think about having a bad attitude. See, it's okay to have joy, and it's okay to be happy. But you got to let yourself do some things, and you got to do some things. So let's look in Psalms chapter 144. We're going to look at verse 15. And it says this in the King James Version. It says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yeah, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy is that people. There's lots of gods in this world. There's lots of gods. That's why God says, I will not have any other gods before me. Because there's lots of gods. But the word says, happy are those people, happy are that group of people whose God is the Lord. Your God could be a number of things. And as little Kimber sang earlier, anything that you put before God, it is your God. It is your idol. Anything that I give absolutely all of my love and all of my affection to, that is my God. And I want to tell you this morning that God is a jealous God. He won't let anything be above him. Why? Because he knows that your very best life is when you have him first center of your life. That's why David said, I have set always before me you, God. God, when I don't feel like it, Lord, when I feel like I have to do these other things before I love on you. God, no, I'm going to set you first. I'm going to put you before me. See, have you put God before you? Have you put God before yourself? Have you put what God wants before what you want? A lot of people say, well, I ain't doing this today because I ain't feeling it. What? What if the whole the whole world did that. Well, I'm guess what? They are. See, we don't do things for God off of a feeling. We do them because of the commitment that we've made, and we do them because he's worthy. God is the only one that is worthy of every single ounce of love that you have. If you're giving all that love to a person, you're going to be disappointed. If you're giving all of your affection to a thing or a person, you're going to be disappointed. You know, several years ago, I was in the medical field for 14 years, and I walked out of that place in a day. I didn't even know I was walking out of there. But in a day, that was it. And then for 3 years, three very hard years, I had a problem with forgiving. I had a boss, and I had a real big grudge against him, and I kept telling God, God, I gave that job everything. I gave it every part of me. And he said, Kelly, that was real stupid. Because I gave you the job, and all I required of you was for you to give me everything. It's okay to be happy, and it's okay to have joy. Allow yourself to do it. But you best have your stuff together. You best be planted on the rock, the one and only rock. And I'm not talking about the bald-headed rock that all the women think are cute. I'm talking about Jesus. You got to have your stuff together. So my next point, it says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yeah, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. My fourth point about having and keeping your happiness and your joy, let God be God. Let God be God. So much of what happens to us in this life is because of other people. And we put too much stock in people, places, and things. We put way too much stock in it. You know, maybe you're aggravated with somebody. Maybe you have somebody in your family that you can't get along with. Maybe you've had a divorce. Maybe you're having marital problems in here today. What I want to tell you is let God be God. When you can let God be God, you can let people be people, because people are people. They're not perfect. Why? Because you're a person and you're not perfect. But God is perfect. And when we can just let him be who he is, it's hard to let God be God because we want to control every single thing. Let God be God. Let him. You know, if I would have not let God be God, the food ministry would not be what it is. Because in my mind, I was just going to a small food bank and I was getting enough food just for our church people. And God said, Kelly, I want to do something bigger, at a bigger capacity. And I said, God, I'm just one person. He said, that's all I need. That's it. That's all I need. If you'll let me do what I want to do, I'm going to feed a lot of people and I'm going to love on a lot of people. You know, every Wednesday before we serve, we pray. Because I never want people to get it wrong. God did that. People come up and they say, boy, you're doing a great thing. And I'll say, yeah, God is doing an amazing thing, isn't he? Let God be God. Let him be who he is. When your joy wants to be stolen by your circumstance, you just tell your heart, you're going to be glad. In Jesus' name. Heart, you and I may wrestle all day long, but I'm going to wrestle you and those emotions to the ground, because heart, you're going to be glad and you're going to rejoice and you're going to be happy. I told a little story when I started this message about Dad asking me what I was crying about when I was younger. And he just sat and cried with me for a little bit, but then he said, you know, Kelly, one of the biggest slaps in God's face is when we're not happy. Because he did everything for us to be happy. See, if you're unhappy, look at the situation again, because God has given you everything for you to have joy. That doesn't mean everything is going right. That doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. You will. But there's a joy, there's a happiness despite every single thing that you're going through. You know, a lot of times I just get in my car and I just drive until I get a better outlook on life. It's okay to be happy, and you should. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Once again, what we see here is that God is filling you with all joy and peace. As you trust in Him, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as. Now, I'm not a reader. But in this set of verses right here, that word as is very key. And I'm going to read it one more time. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in Him. How do you get full of joy and peace? As you trust in Him. You can't trust your circumstance. You can't trust the people around the circumstance most times. But what you can do is be full of joy and peace as you trust in God. As you trust in God. If your trust is in anything except for God, your emotions are going to be like this all the time. If you can trust God, you're going to realize and you're going to understand that He has a perfect track record as it concerns you. He has never been late. He has never let you down. He has never not shown up exactly right on time. So my fifth point is, trust Him. You want to keep your joy? You want to keep your happiness? You want to be whole? You want to be complete? Trust God. Trust Him. Trust Him with the things that don't look good. Trust Him with the disappointments. Trust Him with the hurt. Trust Him with the aggravation. Trust Him with the bad issue that you're having. Trust Him with those. And when you feel yourself not trusting, just say, God, I'm having trouble trusting you. Help me. It's not a terrible thing to just say, God, I'm having trouble trusting you. This looks really bad. He knows. And you know what He's going to do? He's going to say, you know what? I'm going to give you some extra peace today because I got this. You don't need to give it another thought, but you're having trouble trusting me today, and I get it. So here's some reassurance. You know, a lot of times what people need, and I've learned this in ministry, what they need the most are two things. They need you to listen, and they need to hear it's going to be okay. Because when you're in the middle of a battle, you want to just get it out, and you just need to know that it's really going to be okay. I listen to a lot of people, and a lot of people call me, and I'll say, well, what's up? Well, Pastor Kelly, all I want is to be happy. I hear that more than I hear any other thing, besides it was too cold or too hot in church. I just want to be happy. Okay. Then go to the Word of God, because what I've taught you today is this right here. Put God first. Put Him first. He's given you everything. He gave you His best. He deserves to be first. Nothing is going to go right if He's not first. Number two, practice God's presence. Practice His presence. Number three, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry. It's okay to have that moment. Number four, let God be God. Let Him be God. Last verse for me, James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. My sixth point is this right here. Allow yourself to face your problems head on. What does the Word tell us? Consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy. When you're facing trouble, when you're facing the biggest thing that you face, when you're having that moment, when you're having that struggle, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You want to keep your joy. You want to have joy. You want to have happiness. Your happiest self has faced and lived down every problem. When God saved you, He didn't save you and make you a little girl and a little wimp. When He saved you, He gave you strength, and He said, when you're weak, I'm strong. But look here, face your battles. Face your battles. Face your battles. I don't know what you face this morning, but God knows. I don't know what's looming over you and making you dread, but God knows. And I'm encouraging you today, don't cower down to the trial. Don't cower down to the battle. Face it. Face it. Because God, He goes before you. He's behind you. He hems you in on both sides. He's all around you. And He's got it. And because He's got it, you can face anything. I want to minister to that person in here today where you're saying, you know what, God, I'm having trouble just being happy. I'm having trouble keeping my joy. I'm having trouble just being joyful. I'm struggling with happiness. If that's you in here today, I'm going to ask you to stand up, because for whatever reason, God had me preach this message, and I know it's for myself. I'm standing. But if you're having trouble being happy, if you're struggling to keep your joy, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God that that joy is coming back. God says He will restore joy. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every person, God, that has reacted and responded to Your Word. God, I ask for that joy to come back into these hearts right now in Jesus' name. God, I just thank You right now, Lord, that You're meeting them exactly where they're at right now. And I speak to that sadness and that disappointment, that stress and that worry and that anxiety and that fear, and I tell it to be replaced right now with happiness and joy, God, that's lasting in Jesus' name. And God, I thank You for what You've done in this service. Lord, I thank You for everything that You're doing this week. Lord, I ask that You would bless us, God, and keep us. God, I ask that You would make Your face to shine upon us and give us peace, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.